Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
As we promised, our first speaker for prayer and self-denial is Steve Shallard, and it's a great pleasure for me to introduce Steve this morning. Some of you may not realise, and I was surprised this morning when I found out that Steve actually has been faithfully part of this church for 20 years.
Actually, I was a bit surprised when I stopped and thought about it as well.
But in addition to that, Steve also has had 7 years of full-time pastoral ministry. He also is part of the care team of this church. But what you might not know is that he also has had 4 years where he was part of the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society and was one of the visionaries that actually set up Transcend, which is, of course, what Prayer and Self-Denial was about this month. Just as an aside, later on, after the fourth Sunday, Steve will also be running a practical workshop, a working pizza lunch at 12 o'clock for about half an hour to an hour, where he'll cover things like how do we know that we are being called to be missionaries? What preparation do I need to do to be a missionary? And what's the process that you need to go through to set yourself up for a missionary? Katie, of course, is going through that process right now. What I'd like to say is that we've heard Steve in the past preaching, and he is such a passionate person. And if I can, would it be okay if I pray for you?
Oh, I'd love that. We all need lots, me especially.
Father, we prayed, we sang this morning about your Holy Spirit coming into this place, being part of the atmosphere. And we welcome your Holy Spirit today. We pray for your anointing on Steve as he imparts what he believes that you'd want to share with us today. And I pray as a congregation that our ears would be attentive, our hearts softened, to allow your Holy Spirit to do what it needs to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Kia ora. Kia ora tātou. Ko Taranaki te manga, ko Wanganui te awa, ko Pākehā te iwi, ko John tōku papa, ko Patricia tōku whaia, ko Trish tōku wahini, ko Timothy, ko Petra, ko Johanna tōku tamariki, no awa karangi aho, ko Steve Shallard tāku ingoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Charles Ware. Kia ora, Charles. Thank you and your worship team for this morning. I acknowledge you for your leading of us. Where's Michaela? Kia ora, Michaela. May God bless you richly for your step of faith this morning. Kia ora, Rob, pastor, leader. And kia ora, Frank, Joe, the rest of the Global Focus team. Thank you so much for the invitation. I think it's important, and thank you so much for the introduction. That was wonderful. But it feels like, and I'm not a, but that's me. And I come out of all of my history and where I come from. And so I want to acknowledge that this morning. All right. Made new. Briefly, the story of a lost and confused teenage boy who was spending a lot of time and money on alcohol, some on marijuana, in and out of casual relationships, not that many, until one of them, which was maybe a little more important, fell apart, and his world fell apart. And in desperation, this then early 20s boy turned back to the faith of his upbringing and returned to Jesus Christ. My story, actually. And what happened then was straight out of the promises of God from the Scripture. Because in the Scripture, it promises us that when we turn to God, when we give our lives to Jesus, that we will be made new and we will be filled with Te Wairua Tapu, the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's not on, right? Technology's so simple sometimes. So, we get given a new heart and a new spirit. And in fact, God the Father says to the people of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel, I shall sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. This is the promise of God to the people of Israel if they will turn from their self-focused lives and give themselves fully to Him. Same promise still applies to those people today who will turn their hearts from their self-centered ways and apply themselves to God. And we see that promise fulfilled really specifically in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 4. Then Peter said to the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift, at the point that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and God raised him again from the dead, the promise then isn't just for the people of Israel, the promise is for all those who will hear and will turn to Jesus and give their lives to Him. And we will be redeemed, and we will have our hearts of stone removed, and we will be given hearts of flesh, and we will be redeemed. And the story goes on to say that 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord that very day. I don't know how Billy Graham went, but 3,000 is a pretty big number from one sermon. So maybe that's a record. I don't know. They lived their lives. They shared their resources together. And as the church grows, it comes to the attention of the Jewish leaders and the Jewish council. And they don't like what they're seeing and what they're hearing. So Peter and John are arrested. They're made to spend the night in jail. They're brought before the council the next morning. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 it says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he goes on and speaks to them of Jesus, but the key point I want to draw out of that passage this morning is that it starts with Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when you get to the end of that, the council are discussing these guys, and they say this. Didn't I put this in here? Hopefully I did. No, I didn't. Oh, well. Then the council get to the end, and they say this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed. and recognized that they had been with Jesus. The Spirit of God had so transformed these men that it was completely obvious to everybody they encountered. These were not the ordinary, unschooled, uneducated fishermen that they had been. Something had happened to them. They'd been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that was the end of the story, that would be amazing. But it's not. If that's all we had to do, that would be easy. And Michaela, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but this morning's not the end, and it's not the last time God's going to ask you to do something public and difficult and hard, and it's not the end of your journey. Because despite everything, and despite what Mum and Dad think, you're not yet perfect. Sorry. None of us are. And it's not a matter of coming to Jesus Christ and giving our hearts to the Lord and being transformed by the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, because the journey doesn't end there. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 asks us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Not a one-off transformation. An ongoing transforming of our minds. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And now I'm going to do something that I probably shouldn't. I'm going to pretend that, like our senior pastor, I know all this wonderful Greek and Hebrew and stuff, and I've got all this stuff, when actually by about the fourth or fifth day of our compulsory introduction to Greek course at Kerry, I was lost. And that was about the end of my Greek learning. Louis, Louis, anyway. So I had to rely on a commentary, but the commentary tells us that the Greek that's used here when Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a present tense verb, which means an active and ongoing filling with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-off event. We must continue to seek after God and continue to seek after the infilling of His Holy Spirit. Because as one of my early pastors said once in a sermon, it's the only thing, this is really awful to think about as a preacher, but actually of all the sermons I heard him preach, this is the one thing I remember. Isn't that awful? He said, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I leak. I leak, he said. I leak the Holy Spirit out. And sometimes when we're in the right place and we're doing the right thing and we're doing what God asks, we don't only just leak it out, but we actually actively give it out. We give it away to other people and the things that we do. And so we get depleted. And so we need a constant infilling, a constant renewing of the spiritual power within our lives. We have to. Or otherwise, we end up dry and depleted and ultimately burnt out. I like that. A leak. So renewal, being made new, begins with me and you and each one of us personally and individually. But God never designed you and I to take this journey alone. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we find that it says to us, do not forsake meeting together. Don't give up gathering together as the people of God. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the disciples weren't all scattered and in their own individual homes doing their own thing. They were gathered together in prayer and worship, seeking God. We were never meant to walk this journey on our own. And so this community, this expression of the Church of Jesus Christ here, needs constant, ongoing renewal as a community. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as Hutt City Baptist, we need, as a gathered group of people, we need to be renewed ourselves. Not individually, but this whole gathering, this church, needs to be renewed on an ongoing basis. Some time ago, God gave me a vision for this church. And the vision was of this church as a well. And that well was bubbling up and overflowing and running out of our church and into our community. And everywhere it ran in our community was being transformed. And the vision was linked to Ezekiel chapter 47, where the prophet describes a river flowing out from the temple and into the desert, and where the river flows, life comes. And God gave us this vision for us as a church. This is what we are to be. And interestingly enough, a very good friend of mine, who some of you will know, Darren, I was talking with him a couple of weeks after this, and he just looked at me. He just looked at me and he said, bro, I just brought that vision to my church from God. He's a member at Hutt City Assemblies of God, otherwise known as Hutt City Church. Just on the other side of the river. God wants to do something in Hutt City. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus has encountered the woman in the well. And he says this to her, everyone who drinks of this water, this is the well that she's just been drawing her water out of, the well in the by the side of the road, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. He is, of course, talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God has promised to us as a church community. We will see His Spirit gushing up out of our church and out into our community and bringing transformation. But it isn't going to happen if we just sit on our backsides and wait for God to do it. Because the good news is He's going to use each and every one of us to do it. The bad news is He's going to use each and every one of us to do it. It means we have to actually be active. But there'll be nothing for the community if our church is not constantly being renewed and replenished. You see, you can draw water out of the well for so long, but if there's no new water going into the aquifer underground, the well's going to run dry. You can't just keep drawing from the well without it being replenished. As a church, we can't just keep going and doing what we're doing and giving out without a constant renewing. Or otherwise, it won't be God who's empowering what it's we're doing. It'll be in our own strength and it'll fail and we will burn out. So the church needs renewing as well. Have we forgotten this vision God's given us? Or are we prepared to get down on our knees and get active with what God's told us He wants to do with our church? We need to see life and vitality and empowerment as a day-by-day part of our gathered church. But let me tell you, we will not see that church renewal without personal, individual renewal. Because the one is a prelude to the other. The church will not be refilled and re-empowered when it's got a bunch of empty, thirsty, hungry, unempowered people in it. Personal renewal that leads to church renewal. Oh my goodness, I've got involved and I've forgotten to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Oops. Covered that. Yes, covered that. Oh, can we have that video? Can't see you down the back there. Oops.
Do you remember the day you gave your heart to Jesus? The day we gave our hearts to the Lord is a special day, a day we remember and cherish. It's a day that we're made new.
I got baptism on baptized on August 21st. And on that day, it was my husband's birthday also. Then on that same day, we both just got new life. I got my new life, newborn that day.
There are so many people who are yet to be touched by the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. They are people who are in desperate need of a spiritual transformation. However, we are rejoicing because we have faith. Faith that God is stirring the hearts of many people right across Asia.
Now also I have faith that when the Holy Spirit works, no power can just stop the work of the Lord. In the days of Father, Father was working. In the days of Son, Son was working. Now the time of the Holy Spirit is working for us. That is what I believe. Very firmly I believe.
our NZBMS team are seeing amazing things happen within the ministries we are part of. We ask that you pray along with us that the Spirit will find his way into the hearts of many more people in the nations throughout Asia, and that those who have confessed that Jesus is Lord will be encouraged in their faith and a shining light to those they encounter daily.
As you see, the people of Asia and the wider world in general are also very much in need of spiritual renewal. And the work at being at the cutting edge of that spiritual renewal is being led by the extraordinarily brave and committed men and women of Transcend and its sister agency, such as Partners, who are out there, way out of their comfort zones, completely out of their culture, away from their families, away from their friends, away from their support people, and all that is familiar. And they are out there doing this stuff because they believe that's where God has asked them to be. And not only do they go into places where the living conditions are often what we would consider substandard, for example, I remember a friend of mine, Kerry Hilton, and some of you will know of Kerry. He's currently, he and his wife Annie, currently in South Asia. That's about as much as I can tell you in terms of where they're actually located, or that's as much as I'm supposed to tell you. Coming back from over there and telling me that outside the apartment they were living in at the time, down in the street, there was a cricket game going on, and Kerry, of course, was out there playing cricket because that's who he is. No problem so far. This is a fairly ordinary scene. We saw it at Kerry College when we were there together quite often, gathered out playing a bit of cricket. What was unusual in this case is that the mark of the bowler's run-up, it was being marked with a dead rat. And nobody there even blinked. This was quite normal. See, these people take themselves and often their families into places many of us would not even visit for a couple of days on holiday. And they do it because they know that the people in those places need personal spiritual renewal that will only come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, he's just talked about salvation for everyone. In verse 13, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." At this point, that's a big deal because the people of Israel, the Jewish people, didn't believe that salvation was for the horrible, uncouth, unwashed Gentiles. That's you and me. It was only for the people of Israel. And Paul says, no, this is for everybody. In our context, that's not just for us, that's for all of those people out there, even the ones that maybe we don't trust because they're on the radical Islamic fringe or maybe right in the middle of it, or because they're involved in religions that are maybe a wee bit weird or whatever. This salvation is for everybody. And then he says this in verses 14 and 15. "But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed?" How are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? And there are vast swathes of men, women, and children in this world who have never heard the message of the love and mercy of God freely given through Jesus Christ. The only thing they know about Jesus is what they hear from the radical Islamists or from their sincere and mistaken belief that all roads lead to God. Because there are many religions that proclaim that. And these men and women and children are dying in their millions without ever having been told that they have a loving Heavenly Father who is desperate for a personal relationship with them. They don't know. Why don't they know? Because no one's told them. It's pretty simple. No one's told them. They need renewal and transformation on a personal, spiritual level. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear unless someone proclaims him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? Which leaves us with the question, how are we to send them if we as a church are not filled and empowered and overflowing with the presence of Te Waru o Tapu? How we do that without that empowering of God? We don't. You see, sending is not an individual thing. Doesn't mean we get Katie up here and pray for her like I did this morning and we fill all the seats that on Rob's plane. Bye, Katie. See you later. Maybe a couple of years when you come back for, you know, a bit of a break. And leave her hanging out there on her own. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. The people of our world desperately in need of spiritual transformation to be in the best possible place to be involved in this. We as a church are in need of constant, ongoing spiritual renewal. God's vision for our church to be a wellspring of life-giving spiritual water for our community and our world will only be realized if this community is filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, renewal, new life, it's personal, it's a church community imperative, it's a worldwide need. You're going to get one of these on the way out. Transcend want you to take this home and to, heaven forbid, not buy your coffee and put the money in here. Why is it that everyone picked on coffee this morning when it was giving something up? Surely we can give something else up. Anyway, give up whatever you're going to give up and put the money in here. And then in 3 weeks, bring it back and gather all that money together and we're going to send it off to Transcend, and it's going to help fund their work. I want you to do something else with this. I want you to take this home, and I want you to put it in the most publicly, frequently seen place in your house where it will hit you in the face. Every day, every time you walk into that room where you go all the time, I want you to see it there. And I want you not only to be reminded of what Transcend does, but I want you to see this and be reminded that God is calling you to personal, constant, ongoing renewal. And I want that vision of this to drive you to your knees in search of a new and fresh infilling of Te Waru o Tapu. Can we have the worship team up, please? I'm going to be here, members of our prayer team here. If you're feeling that dryness, if you're feeling a little bit of a desert, if you're desperately hungry for that spiritual renewal, that personal infilling, come here and there will be those of us who would be absolutely delighted to pray with you this morning.